Check.
All right, thank you. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. For even, now who do you think you are? For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give His life as a ransom for many. Let's pray. Lord God in heaven, we are, Father, examining Nothing will motivate a body like serving the body. That's the way Jesus motivated, was through service. So how do you think His church should motivate? It's not what do I know about, it's what do I do about it. You know, the fact that I know when to use the term worship and when to use the term assembly has got nothing to do with what's going on inside my heart. So I can get all smug about using the right language and still completely miss the mark. Because it's not taking place in the matter of what I know about. It's taking place in the matter of what I do about. And for each one of us, that's where it's taking place. We've gotten pretty cocky about talking about the potential of the locomotive. Now you know what the motivation of a locomotive, see, you know the law of inertia, what tends to is at rest stays at rest. And a body in motion tends to stay in motion. Now to shine up the outside of the locomotive and have meetings about and talk about the potential of the locomotive, but that locomotive never pulling any train cars. Kind of pointless. See, locomotive is just all shined up and talked about. I can stand on the tracks and do this and nothing's going to happen. That locomotive ain't going to do nothing. See? And once that puppy gets a moving, then it drag an SUV a mile down the tracks. Jesus emptied Himself by becoming a servant in obedience to the Father. He went to the cross in place of fallen creatures. And if He did that, what do you think maybe we ought to be doing? Kind of presenting some of this in Belarus, and one lady said, "It's just that easy, huh?" I said, "No, dear, it is the hardest thing that I've ever done." I'll tell you what, putting yourself to death, if that's not the hardest thing that you've ever done, we need to talk later. Because there ain't nobody going to wake up in heaven surprised. See, if it hasn't taken you everything, every sweat, every crucifixion, everything that your slave was able to give you, you're going to wake up someplace else pretty surprised. See, the trouble is that in our individualistic thinking, we think that by pouring ourselves into others, that somehow the pouring vessel gets empty. So as we are the pouring vessel and we become empty, well, I'm tired. I'm tired because I'm empty. I'm tired because I've poured myself. Brother, there's a hole in the bottom of your cup. See, the more you pour, the more the Holy Spirit fills up this end of your cup. See, you want to clean the inside of the cup and turn it upside down and flush it out. By your service, pouring it into someone else. See, it's the emptying of ourselves that fills ourselves up.
Jesus' emptying was exactly what allowed the power of God to flow into humanity through Him. Did you get that? So now it's Christ in us, the hope of glory, and we follow the same pattern of motivation to one another and to the world. To see this emptying, you even need to consider a more vivid image. It's Jesus is emptying Himself, finds ultimate fulfillment on the cross. So it's Christ's cross and our cross that leads to the motivational ministry. That is the putting to death of myself. Serving. And then when you get tired of that, serve some more. Nobody appreciates this. Serve some more. I'm tired of giving. Give some more. Well, nobody appreciates it. You know, maybe just nobody has said anything. I come in this morning, Eileen's cleaning the men's bathroom. I know that because I am an old man and the drive from Wausau on to here is a long drive. But she didn't stand out there with a poster, see? Well, I wish she would have. I might have saved an embarrassing moment. No, but she served because there was a job to do, not because there was recognition connected to it. And how many times do we serve only if there's recognition attached to it? Well, that's not service. See, that's an exchange. There's a big difference between serving and exchanging. Maintaining momentum in ministry is a product of servant leadership. Emptying ourselves, emptying myself of what's been entrusted to me into the lives of others, and so releasing God's power through my life. I think Steve said last night, you know, and I wish I would have wrote this down. If he only knew all of the, you know, where did all the people go that he immersed in the last 30 years? You know, I mean, more leaves than stick. What are you doing with the ones that stick? That's the question. The question is not how many was. I mean, Jesus, you know, Jesus, after a hard teaching, turned to the 12 and said, you want to leave too? Hey, you know, there's the door. I had no plan B here. Far from being a recipe for exhaustion or a recipe for depression, see, far from being that kind of thing, but when I'm empty, I can be filled again and again by the rejuvenating life of God Himself. So go ahead and spend it. You don't have a limited pie to give from. It's okay. Dad said you could go ahead and spend it. Dad doesn't have you on some kind of an allowance that you can only give this, you know, you've got a giving jar here. So don't cut your bubblegum funds short. Well, you go ahead and give yourself, and God will give you more. And He's guaranteed He won't be outgiven. Now, what does this look like? Theory is all good, but what does this look like? How do you flesh this out? That's a legitimate question. Because, you know, we can act enthusiastic and you'll be into it. And now what? You know? Well, now go take a nap. Well, now the rally's over. That was good, wasn't it? Yeah, that was really good. Wonder where they got that chicken from. Don't know. Think they got it from Lee's? Yeah, I don't think there's a KFC in Lima anymore. Bring back the locomotive image again. Well, no. The church, the movement, the people, the kingdom ought to be moving forward and more powerful than a locomotive. Well, we all know that Superman is the only thing more powerful than a locomotive. I tell you, we are supermen and superwomen. So, let's get this locomotive down the road. Now, you can wish the locomotive down the road. You can try to preach the locomotive down the road. You can try to push the locomotive. They ain't going. And you can't get that thing, any momentum behind that thing till you fire that engine up. 7 places to start. Number 1, we start with people, Christians and non-Christians, where they are. Embedded in their culture, and this frequently requires downward mobility on our part. And by mobility, I don't mean looking down our nose at them. I mean getting down there where they are on their level with an idea to help. And when we're ready to do that with each other, we're going to be more prepared to do that with those outside the family. I'll tell you, we do that with those outside the family and we don't extend that same grace to those inside the family. And people get in and say, I don't want any part of this. This was a lie. So we have to, you know, and sometimes I think we think that culture means that, you know, other cultures are people with bones through their noses. It's not that obvious. The Lima church has a different culture than the Wafion church. Praise God! Well, I'm not that happy about it. Make it easy. There are cultural differences that all of us carry around. David just got that. So we start with people where they're at. We embed ourselves into, we walk in their, we wash their feet. And you think that didn't require some downward mobility on Jesus' part? He didn't do that with some smug look on his face, like, look what you guys missed. No, he did that out of service. Number 2, has to take their culture seriously. This is the context, this cultural context is the context that people's lives have meaning to them. Jesus took the people, when He was here in the flesh, He took the people's culture seriously. He told parables that related to their culture. We need to approach both our brothers and sisters and those of the world. We need to approach them as learners, as children, as anxious to see the world from their perspective. When's the last time you sit down, opened your Bible, anxious to see how another person is viewing this? Or do we always view ourselves somewhat smugly? I heard somebody refer to it one time as the Campbellite grin. We've got all the answers, and we'll tolerate your little shenanigans here while I get my 5-point exercise ready for you. People don't see that. We got to take people seriously where they're at for us to have an audience with them. Number four, we are forced to be humble for their world of culture. We've not yet acquired the learned knowledge to interpret their experience and to generate what they see as proper social behavior. Number five, we lay aside our cultural bias of prestige and power. Well, the way we do it's best. It may be, you ain't going to get anybody to change over to it with that attitude. I don't particularly like beets. A little known fact. But you know what? I just ate more beets in the last 2 weeks than I'll eat in the next 50 weeks. I liked every bit of them. Because that's who they are. And if we don't respect that in little ways like that, we ain't going to respect it in the big ways. To be motivational means to be vulnerable. Our defenses are going to have to come down. Number seven, we make every effort to identify with people where they are, living among them, loving them, and learning from them. That's how that looks like being fleshed out. Now, that's not going to happen all of a sudden. That's not going to happen with an attendance program. That's not going to happen just as a result of something that one of the churches stumble onto for noses and nickels. Noses and nickels do not necessarily indicate motivation. I'll tell you, nothing kills motivation like the lack of noses and nickels and preaching to yourself. The maker of man became man that he, the ruler of the stars, might be nourished at the breast. That he, the bread, might be hungry. That he, the fountain, might thirst. That he, the light, might sleep. That he, the way, might be wearied by the journey. That he, the truth, might be accused by false witnesses. That he, the judge of the living and the dead, might be brought to trial by a mortal judge. That he, justice, might be condemned by the unjust. That he, discipline, might be scourged with whips. That he, the foundation, might be suspended on a cross. Courage might be weakened, that security might be wounded, that life might die. There is absolutely no question that service is complicated. And sometimes can be very chaotic. But to motivate, we must not use exclusion to minimize our motivational base. Some people are harder to motivate than others. like car manufacturing or cookie production, where the raw materials are predictable and the process is constant and consistent and the desirable end is uniformity. In motivational ministry, the result is annoyingly individualized. I mean, we can't set a line. See? 2 years old, and that child's not walking yet? Boot them out of the family. No kid of mine's going to act like that. What kind of a family would that be? What kind of a family are we? Unlike auto chassis or cookies, our objects of concern don't just lie there on the assembly line or in the pan. See, I think the Bible calls our bodies living sacrifices. And the Bible compares our ministry to shepherding. Well, often what we're shepherding is more like cats than sheep. You're trying to herd cats sometimes. But the very nature of working with people bring a built-in temptation to make it easier. See, it's easier to tell the little child to go away, daddy's tired, go play someplace else. It's easier with annoying people to get them out. Jesus is the ultimate motivator. The church in Corinth was fractured into factions based on personality. Paul uses the labels, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas. But the individuals didn't claim that for themselves. None of those four were in Corinth trying to gather a following to themselves. Others were using their names for their own ends. Later, Paul talks about these guys as being super apostles. They're being kind of sarcastic. See, Paul, by contrast, declared that his method and message and motivation, you get that three M's, method, message, and motivation. I just want to make sure you notice that. Would be the life of the cross of Christ. The purpose was never to call people to Himself, but to point them to Jesus, to Christ and the cross. Now, we don't want to empty the cross of its motivational power, because without that motivation, see, He's not going to be lifted all the way up. And without that motivation towards that kind of service, then the church is not going to be lifted all the way up. We can read Ephesians chapter 2 all we want to, but we're not going to possess that until we possess this. And knowing it doesn't make it so. Doing it makes it so. What are you going to do? What are you going to do?